We are getting into the subject of weariness this week. Yes, oh my is right. Because here's the deal. If there was one thing, last week we talked about depression and how it's referred to as the common cold of mental illness. And how if we just kind of scan this room right now, there's probably somewhere between 7 and 10 people in this room right now that have either recently or are right now suffering from depression. And that's just plain the statistics. Weariness is probably 80% of you. And you can see it in the community here especially. You guys are on a mad dash every summer. In the spring, everyone's excited and walking. By the time we hit September, the shoulders are hunched. The knees aren't bending as much as they used to. The back might be a little bit sore. And I got to yell more in my sermons because I get to watch you from up here do one of these. When I catch you sleeping. That's okay. As much as you're getting rest, it's fun for me to watch you wake up. I promise. It does not bug me. But as weariness goes, it is something that affects so many of us. And just like we talked about with these other ailments and things that we battle, it is something we feel guilty for. We will call ourselves lazy for being tired. We will be convicted for feeling like we need to rest. And all that does is extend out the pain and the problem of weariness. And one thing I can guarantee you, where you may not ever feel depressed, you may not ever feel lonely, even though it's very unlikely, you will definitely get weary in this lifetime. And it's such a common occurrence that if you go, and I've said this a couple times this morning in our Sunday school, but if you go to any counseling or you go to any professional counselor or psychiatrist or psychologist or anything like that, before they start diagnosing you with anything or treating anything, one of the first questions, they're going to ask you two main questions to try to disqualify the easy stuff. They're going to ask you about your rest. They're going to ask you how you're sleeping, how much rest you get, when's the last time you rest? Because that and chemical addictions often present themselves as a myriad of other mental illnesses that as soon as you get rest, they kind of dissolve. They go away. And any of you that suffered from tremendous weariness knows what I'm talking about. Your anxiety goes up, your depression goes up, your paranoia goes up. Your anger, your temper, all these things end up presenting themselves more the more tired that we are. And we may think that work is a cause of weariness, and it can be, tiredness especially. We may think that physical labor is the number one cause of weariness, but I want to present something else to you that we see in Lamentations as bigger or more important causes of weariness than just busyness. Busyness can cause us to be tired, but these things we're about to talk about in a minute here are things that are going to wear us all down. And the reason why we want to separate them is because we see when things are going good, no matter how busy we are, most of us don't get weary. In fact, success ends up being a form of refreshment. When things are going well, we tend to be able to work a little bit longer, a little bit harder, operate at a higher level, a little bit longer and a little bit harder. And usually, we talk a lot, especially in the church industry, about burnout and people becoming burned out or overwhelmed. But churches that are thriving and have a very successful ministry where they're not seeing a lot of fruit over and over again, don't experience the same level of burnout as normal churches that are just going week to week. And so I want to present to you that maybe your weariness doesn't just come from how busy you are, but it comes from either one or the combination of things that we find in Lamentations, which is loss, betrayal, hardship, and sin. And we see them present in the very first verses. That's going to be a little bit of a kind of a longer passage we're going to read here, but think of those words we just talked about: loss, betrayal, hardship, and sin. And listen to the words of Jeremiah. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She who was great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave, lost. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. Betrayal. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction, hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place, hardship. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for none come to the festival. All her gates are desolate, all her priests groan. Her virgins have been afflicted, and she by herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head of her enemies, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Sin, her children have gone away captives before the foe. And so just in the first five verses, we see how the physical state of Jerusalem can easily represent their spiritual state and the weariness they are suffering from, because they experience all compounded on top of each other: loss, betrayal, hardship, and sin. And it's often taught and seen that Jerusalem's spiritual state is a reflection, or is reflected by, her physical state. The city now makes up what was on the inside of its people. And unfortunately, we see a high spot, but it comes in the middle of the book. When we look at the last part of the last poem of Lamentations, it doesn't get any better, and we actually see the full effect of weariness take its toll on the poet when he ends with, "Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and you remained exceedingly angry with us." And that's the end result of weariness. Just like loneliness, just like depression, weariness leads to a state of hopelessness that causes us to question and battle with our daily existence. And so just like Jerusalem, that weariness on the inside begins to be reflected on the outside. And we see this in Lamentations chapter 3, right before we hit the high point of the book, we hit a low point. It says, "My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." And so that tiredness has become a constant reminder to him. His endurance has left him. And so over and over again, he is reminded that his, like he says, "My soul continually remembers his affliction and his wanderings. And as a result, it is bowed down within him. It is depressed. It is crushed." And when we reach that point, there's a few actions that we begin to take because they make sense to us while we're going through this time of tiredness and weariness. There are things that seem to make sense that we say, this is how I'm going to get my rest. This is how I'm going to recover. And what we begin to do is isolate ourselves. We separate ourselves. We start thinking to ourselves, my problem isn't possibly hardship, betrayal, or sin. My problem has to be other people. That's why I'm so tired. I'm giving too much of myself. And so we isolate ourselves, we go into despair, and we begin questioning everything that we thought was a bedrock or solid in our lives, because we think this is how we're going to find peace. We think this is where our rest is going to come from. We think cutting ourselves off from our life source, we're relational beings, like we talked about at the very beginning, our relationship with God and our relationship with other people are the primary things in our lives that bring us a healthy lifestyle. But when we get run down, we cut those things off right away, and we begin to wither. And we begin to die. And then, where before weariness placed you in a sympathetic role, God looks at the weary. He longs for them. He wants them to come back to them. He wants them to have peace. We begin to move into a dangerous area where it begins to affect our worship. We begin to start blaming God, His people, and what He's called us to do. And we begin to claim that that is the source of our stress. That is the thing that makes our life harder. That is what brings us dis-ease, not disease, but dis-ease. And we see this is a dangerous spot in the Bible. He says in Micah 1:13, but you say, what a weariness this is, and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? And so he's kind of getting on the people here. He says, you look at the worship as if this is an added task, as if this is something burdening you. And so then you begin to throw your scraps at God. And he calls them out. He says, shall I take that? Is that something I shall take from you? Where I should be the source, the point of origin for your strength and your refreshment, now you just throw the bare minimum at me to keep me off your back? Is the way you look at it. And so he goes on to show them how dangerous ground this is. In verse 14, the very next verse, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And so that's the spiral we see. We see us cutting ourselves off from people. We see us cutting ourselves off from activities that may help us. And then finally, the one thing that can turn us around and nourish us, we begin to cut him off too. And that is something he takes offense at. That is not something he appreciates. He never called us to throw him our scraps or our secondhand worship. Because he knows what is good for us. He knows what he can provide. And if our point of worship is the area where we think this is what's causing us our stress, we are basically blaming God for the state of the fallen world, instead of evaluating ourselves and seeing how we can better align with him and his kingdom. So we go through the list, we find that we're weary, we find that we're run down, we find that we're tired. We even may be crossing over into that dangerous ground where we start blaming God and we start assuming it's his worship, his calling, and his will that is causing us to be in this state of tiredness and weariness. But we've taken the time to evaluate ourselves and say, I don't want to be here. What do we do about it? When we discover that's where we're at, what do we do? Well, there's some very practical things we can do right off the bat to help us overcome weariness. Because most often and most of the time, our weariness isn't from as much as what we're doing as it is how we're interpreting the actions of others and our own actions. And so for many of us, our weariness comes from not that I have to get up and we'll just use going to church on Sunday. It doesn't come from the fact that going to church makes you tired. Yeah, some of you may not like waking up and coming in here. But more than likely, people that are weary from church are weary from the fact that they have to get up, get dressed, drive in here, worried about what people are going to say about their kids, worry about what people are going to say about them, worry about what people are going to say about their family, worry about... And so we begin to think all these extra added things, and that's what begins to weigh us down, is because we begin to focus not on the original purpose for why we're going. We begin to focus on the overwhelming expectations of the world. And we don't have to apply this just to church. A lot of us become overwhelmed at our job, not because of the amount of work that we're doing, but it's because we're worried about our boss. We're worried about our coworkers. We're worried about the anxiety and the stress that comes along with whatever duties we may have. Especially if you end up working in a dangerous job. That stress and that trauma from constant anxiety makes you weary. And so one of the best things we can do for ourselves is begin to simplify our thinking. What does that mean? Simplifying our thinking. Cut it down to the basics. Take it down to the very basic level. Why are you waking up every day? Why are you doing what you're doing? A few basics I had to cut down to. When I was miserable at the last couple years of my military service, and I knew that I was weary, I was wrung out, I was tired, I was ready to retire, I was just sick of being a part of it, God kind of shook me and reminded me and said, don't worry about the bosses, don't worry about the coworkers, don't worry about the standards or the procedures, worry about serving and worshiping me. And that may sound like, if you're hearing it now, like it's extra stress, but I promise you, if you shift and you transition that focus to that, it cuts out so much of the extra junk that we heap on our shoulders as we go in every day to deal with the world. We focus purely on worshiping him. Another thing was providing for my family. It became a lot easier for me to show up to a job I didn't like, show up to an area I didn't like, be around people I didn't like anymore, just for the reason to provide a decent lifestyle for my family. And it didn't change what I did every day. It didn't change how I reacted or what I worked on every day. But what it did change was my perspective on why I'm doing what I'm doing. And it cut off the added stress that I was adding on by simply saying, if I am serving the Lord, all these other things are going to fall into place behind it. But we also want to simplify our actions. And this is closely tied with simplify our thinkings. Because simplifying our actions may be better stated as simplifying our motivations. And that may sound like what we just talked about. But maybe change the perspective of the way we look at every single day and how it's supposed to end. And that may relieve the weariness that we've placed on ourselves. Not that you have to get up and go to work, but maybe change it to, hey, I got to go spend 8, 10, 12 hours at this place so that I can hang out with my family. So that I can go play pickleball on Monday nights. Right, Roxy? So that I can do the things I enjoy. And again, simply changing our perspective on some of this allows us to relieve ourselves of the anxiety, depression, pressure, and stress that we add on every day because we think or we overvalue worldly circumstances. But finally, and the thing we've talked about with loneliness, the thing we talk about depression, is going to be the same thing every single week. You have to learn to lean on the church. I have never met a struggling Christian overcome what they're dealing with by cutting themselves off from other Christians. It's never happened. I've never seen it happen. Now, yes, some of you may say, well, what if I'm going to an unhealthy church? Of course. Find a healthy one. The point isn't what building you're showing up to. The point is are you leaning on the support system that God designed for you to come in and share your weariness? And where it says over and over and over again in the New Testament, bear one another's burdens. Carry one another's struggles and problems. That is a primary function of this group of people sitting in here right now. That is what we are designed to do as a body, is we are designed to help you carry that burden. And so if you're not taking advantage of that, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up to wither and die. And we see all three of these things, but mainly the last one represented in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And this is usually a verse that we use to guilt you guys into coming into church more. Because that's the part that says, don't forsake the fellowship of the believers. I want you to hear that, but I want you to see what it says around it, why you shouldn't forsake. And let us consider how to stir up one another, another encourage, to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It gives us a brief summary of what the purpose of the church is right there, of the body. It isn't just don't neglect the fellowship. It isn't just don't stop coming to church or stop coming to church, whatever I'm trying to say. More so, it is let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works and encouraging one another all the more as you see the day, the coming of Christ, drawing near. That's what we're here for. That is our purpose. If you're down in the dumps, the first place you should want to be around, and I know this is hard to imagine or get this concept, but hopefully one day we get there, the first place and the first group of people you should want to be around is this group right here. These are the people that God gave you to bring you up out of weariness, to encourage you, and to stir up one another to love and good works. But that leads us to our final point, And Jesus gave that invitation to all of us. And this is the place, if you haven't started here, this is where you need to start. When he says, come to me, all you who are weary, for his burden is light. If you are at the point to where you need refreshment, you need peace, you need rest, I promise you, as a Christian, if you're already there, you're not going to find it by pulling away from Jesus. And likewise, if you're not a Christian, you're going to find your rest in drugs, in alcohol, in various other addictions that present themselves in various many ways. You are going to seek relief somewhere. The question is where are you going to go to seek this relief? Jesus says, if you come to me, I don't get my hooks in you and wear you down and kill you and destroy your family. He says his burden is light. So if you need to come to Christ because you are run down, because you are beaten, because life has kicked your knees out. My kids do this thing to each other, and I used to do it. You go up behind someone and you break their knees down. You know what I'm talking about? They end up doing one of those. You feel like life has done that to you. The best source of strength, or at least the best source that you're going to find starting, is in Jesus Christ. But if you are a Christian, you are a follower of Jesus, and you've committed your life to him, the answer is still the same. The best source of strength you are going to find is in his body. And that doesn't mean coming in here and listening to me talk. That means coming in here and forming and joining and being a part of relationships one to another. That is where your freedom is found. That is where your peace is found. And that is where your rest is found. So if you feel like you need to return to the Lord, if you feel like Jesus' burden is attractive to you, come see me. We'll talk. If you are a Christian who feels like you need to be reattached to the body, not that that needs to happen, but maybe you feel that, come see me. We'll talk. But for all you others who are healthily evolved in the church and you're suffering from weariness, realize that maybe a quick change of perspective and a simplification of your thinking and your actions may allow you, since they focus on the Lord, may allow you to seek and find the peace that you're looking for. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for everyone who came in this Sunday, Lord. I thank you so much for everything you've given us and allowed us to do. And I pray for all those who couldn't make it today that you just keep them safe wherever they're traveling or wherever they may be. I pray for those who are suffering, Lord. I pray for those who are looking for joy and peace in a day and age of weariness, at a time when we're busier now more than we've ever been before in history, where we can be basically called to task 24 hours a day. Remind them that no matter how busy they get, they can still find rest and peace in you, Lord. And they can still find encouragement and energy in your body with your people. I just pray that you continue to allow us to grow as a church, continue to allow us to be encouraging and loving towards one another, and continue to allow us to attract those that need to be stirred up, that need to be encouraged, and that need to be loved, that need your rest. Finally, we just ask that, like you told the enemy, we don't live off of bread alone, but every word that comes from your mouth, that we may rely on you for our sustenance and our strength. in that when we reach a point of despair and weariness, you will refresh us. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins and 3 days later rising again and ascending into heaven and being our advocate with the Father so that we may have hope and trust and faith in the fact that we will be in a land of rest. We will be in an eternal Sabbath with you one day, Lord. And so we thank you for that. That no matter how weary we get here and how much relief we are unable to get, that one day we will be in your rest. And finally, I just ask that you bless those that are here today, that you just protect them as they drive home, and allow us as a church to serve and minister to each other faithfully. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.